Hello and welcome to another episode of The Hurry Up. I'm your host, Andre Dixon. It's been a long time we've been away. A lot has happened. So we are having a catch up because, you know, now that George and Ash are famous, it's hard to schedule in them. And we have a newbie, point guard, effectively, to our podcast. Now, the new format that we have is going to be run by Elena. So Elena is us to run a tight ship and to make sure that we're keeping things on time. So Elena's going to introduce his subject, and in our catch-up of all things NFL, Elena will make sure that we are timely as well. So let's not wait around. Elena, what's topic one?
Okay, for topic number one, I thought we'd kind of throw it back a couple months and talk about the NFL draft. We got four main players kind of that we're focusing on this draft. Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, Ashton Jeanty, and then Travis Hunter, of course. And so I thought maybe starting with Cam Ward and talking about how he will be kind of as a he's the number one pick. Will he live up to that? Obviously, Miami had a great season. He had a great season. But what will that mean for him? They didn't play necessarily strong competition. How will that like translate into the NFL game?
Perfect. Well, I'll let you take that, Ash.
You know what? I'm actually here for Cam Ward. There were like rumors milling around Lambeau Field when I was there, like an hour or two before the draft actually started. And people were like, yeah, but what if Cam Ward doesn't become the number one overall pick? And then that kind of became like Chinese whispers. And everybody was like, Cam Ward's not going to be the number one pick. But you know what? I've got so much faith in this guy. I think, you know, I loved what I've seen from him, from clips I've seen from him last year. Combine and stuff. I think he's exactly kind of what Tennessee needs. So yeah, I'm kind of here for it. How about you, George?
So my thing is, right, with anyone that's a number one pick, most of the time it's a quarterback. You obviously look at their previous situation where they were at college, Miami, they obviously did well. He did well, he was a great player. Obviously, he wouldn't have gone number one. But you kind of have to remember, right, the number one pick always goes to pretty much the worst team, right? So I kind of liken it to, and I don't like to say his name because he's not a favorite player of mine, but quarterback for the Houston Texans. I even want to say his full name. He obviously came into a situation where the team was good and he did great things with the Texans, getting to the playoffs. But you look at Cam Ward, you're talking about he's gone to the Titans. Okay, he's a good quarterback, but the Titans are trash. The Titans themselves as a team, both offense and defense, are trash. So this could easily be a situation where the Titans still finish bottom of the AFC South because, yes, you have a new quarterback, but you don't really have that many weapons around him. You don't. So as it's great that he's number one pick. I think he only recently signed his deal as of literally, I think, yesterday at time of recording, 40-something million guaranteed. I'm happy for him, happy for his family. But in terms of the NFL, there is no guarantee that he's about to do anything for the Titans and turn them around because the rest of the squad is trash.
No, I know, but I do think the Titans have it in them to build a squad around Cam Ward. Obviously, not right now, but this is a team that I'm not afraid about, like, later down the line, building a team around Cam, whereas there were teams before where I was just like, nah, it's never going to happen. But I don't see the Titans being the worst team forever. I mean, I'm surprised that the Giants weren't the number one overall pick.
Oh, wow. I feel like that wasn't an analysis. That was just a dig.
it's been a cool like 2 months since we've done this. It's the jab in early.
I feel like that's just a shot taken for no reason at all. Yes, I actually support. Well, because we decided to beat another dud team, which is the Colts, then unfortunately that means that we bumped ourselves away from number one pick, which is annoying.
Yeah, but look at the weapons you have now. Sorry to interject. I'm so excited about your guys' draft picks, and I told you what would happen.
Yeah, you did. You did say Jackson Dart. She did actually say that. And then I'm very excited about that. But obviously, I'm not going to go about Giants just yet. We'll talk about Cameron, because what also was happening was that if you look at yet again, Joe Shane, our GM, in the documentary behind the scenes, but not so behind the scenes because I think he likes the camera. He was desperately trying to trade up and get Cam Ward, and then but also like it was a little joke, which for me, if I was a Jameis Winston, sorry, I'm in F1 mode here. I've forgotten what. If I'm a Jameis Winston or Russell Wilson or even Jackson Dart, then at some point I would be like, wait a minute, like, am I actually part of your plan, or is this like plan B or C or D? So then, like for me, or it's just it's come together, you know. But it's luckily, but like again, back to Cam Ward, he seemed to be the number one choice for the Giants, and obviously the Titans were sticking with their pick. So I do think that they were going to obviously build a franchise around him. I think that he is that good.
The other thing I like about Cam Ward, his attitude. I think his attitude and mentality ticked so many boxes for GMs. And I know we're going to get onto him in a minute, but that's not what people saw in Shador. It's kind of the mentality, personality, attitude, not just towards playing the game, but everything else that comes with being QB in the NFL. And so that's why I think like a lot of teams really like Cam Ward, and they were going out of their way to try and get up and nab that pick. But I mean, let's see. I think, right, like you said, George, anything can happen. We've seen it time and time again where the number one overall pick sometimes is a bust and doesn't get the job done.
Times.
A few times. But I
Johnny
mean,
Manziel.
But this could be like another Joey B situation. Who knows?
Yeah, it's just. I think it's going to be a situation. You've got a great quarterback stuck in a dud team, and they can't get things going until eventually they collect picks and they're able to transform the team. That's what it feels like to me. Which every number one pick knows that.
Huh? Titans hater.
The Titans who?
Titans hater.
Yeah, damn right. The AFC South rival. They can get lost, but I don't want that to do again. So they're finishing at the bottom of the division.
Well, you know, George is very confident all of a sudden.
All of a sudden.
For a team that's not done very well at all. And then who's going to have Daniel Dimes as their starting quarterback for sure. Have you actually accepted that that's going to happen?
No, but what I have accepted is that he's part of the team. Yes, fine. but no, I'm still sticking with AR beating him out. He offers too much upside, man. We know what Danny Dimes is. We know what he is. AR is going to win the job. I have no problems there whatsoever.
I'm just letting you guys know what's going on behind the scenes, because Ash is going to give a different version of what's going on. I have a Instagram selfie light that I'm putting on, so we can use that for clips. So this is not vanity; it's just professionalism.
It's a vanity light, basically.
It's not. Yeah,
he explained it exactly how it is. He's putting his Instagram light on his.
No, it's not. No. Sorry, can I just explain? Right. So for those who see our clips on Instagram, each time that we have them, that I appear to be like in some dark corner of the studio. So therefore, I thought, let's fix that. Let's give me some warm lighting.
Warm glow.
So this is not vanity.
It's a nice bit of equipment.
It's not vanity. It's just a bit of a.
I love how you brought that up.
You was good.
Yeah.
I'm used to the attacks from these guys from all sides. So I'm gonna move on to the next subject. Elena, you take the wheels.
Well, kind of on the topic of bottom of the division is Shedeur Sanders joining the Browns. And you mentioned earlier, Ash, about how people had questions about him and kind of how he was as a player. And honestly, it hasn't gotten much better. He's had a lot of Instagram videos where they're like taking pictures for media day, and he does not look excited to be there. He does the agility test or the reaction test. He does not look happy to be doing that. So what do you guys think? Like, how do you think that'll affect him throughout the season? And will that affect even him getting the starting job over so many quarterbacks that are in that Browns quarterback room?
This is a hard-hitting question, sir. This is way more intelligent than we normally have.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, go for it.
So my hot take, and this is, what date is it? 22nd of May. Shedeur Sanders will not be the starting quarterback for the London game. Just saying that right now. He won't be. It's too early on in the season.
Okay.
It's not going to happen. Second of all,
I think that's a hot take. I think he's going to be sitting.
But, oh, for the whole year?
No, maybe not for the whole year, but he definitely will be sitting by that time.
But also, I called it that he was going to fall out of the top 10.
Oh.
I called it. But then, like, as it slowly went on, I think it was pick number 9, and I said to myself, and I definitely messaged you guys, and I was like, I think he's actually going to fall out of the first round overall. Because I was trying to figure it out. I was like, what? But I was like, what teams actually need a quarterback, and what teams, like, who's going to fit in mostly? And that's when I said to you, Jackson Dart is definitely going to the Giants.
Yeah.
Because that's such a good pick.
Yeah, but you had insider trading, so that's not fair.
Just there in the crowd.
Yeah.
But actually, what I didn't expect was him to fall out of the second round. I thought for sure somebody was going to pick him up in round 2. Is he happy at the Browns? I mean, I think he's just happy to have been picked overall.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, but the one thing I also want to say, we all saw the prank call video, right?
Oh, that's disgraceful.
Yeah.
No, what I would like to say is there are so many people every year who get prank phone called. So many of them. I think this year there was like 5 or 6. It's only because of Shedeur Sanders' dad, I think, that this made it. And also because the guy who prank called him was the Atlanta Falcons coach's son.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. But like, why not shine a light on absolutely everybody else who's been
prank called? Yeah, but I think, you know, this is obviously a side subject on this, but yeah. I think that with that type of stuff, I think you should be fired, personally.
But it wasn't him, it was his son.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, that is...
Yeah, right.
That is, you know, highly sensitive information. And also, you know, if you've just left it around in the tablet for your son to be able to get a hold of, it's like, to me, it's sort of irresponsible behavior.
That's fine, but then also investigate all the other prank phone calls as well. Don't just have it just on Shedeur. Do you treat everybody?
But they do. But then in this one in particular, obviously, you know, there's always going to be one that's going to be highlighted, you know, that's going to destroy that breaks the camel's back. And I think it's definitely that. And I think, you know, at the end of the day is that if you're in a privileged position where you haven't been hacked or something like that, it's just your son doing it, who's a bozo, and says, oh, he didn't mean to do it. No, you put it live. You're just, you're not sorry at all. You're sorry you got caught.
Or
you're sorry your
video?
Dad.
It's pathetic, man. Like,
dad,
I think,
loser.
Just that. For you to be able to, okay, fine, the tablet's been left out. What kind of person do you have to be like, oh, let me take some of these details and prank call these guys and film it and get it? Like, you have to be such a prick that you find it okay to do that.
Mm.
So that says a lot about him and I guess how he's been, I don't know, raised.
Funny,
by
like, I never understood.
Like, it's so,
you know,
did you never people as a kid?
It's pathetic.
Oh, God, no.
No, but that's cool. Like, doing that is like, you know.
No, don't get me wrong. That's different.
It was someone's future, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, that was just
a bit,
because I did find that so fascinating. But anyway, I think, I don't know if she's going to fit in with this Browns organization in the long run. I really don't. I have a feeling he might become a bit of a journeyman within his first year or two within the league before he finds the right fit.
Look at this. Look at you plotting his downfall.
No, I
journeyman.
Yeah. But, you know, if the Browns don't get anything, like, this is a guy, he wants to win. That's like, that's his mentality. He's competitive. He wants to win and stuff. And don't get me wrong, he's a good QB. He's got the skills there. We've all seen it and everything. But is it the right fit for him being with the Browns? Absolutely not.
Last one, Drew.
I don't think, well, initially, I expected Shedeur to go to number 21 to the Steelers. That didn't happen. I did not expect him to drop down to the 5th round at all. So similar to Ash, I just think he was grateful to have been picked. And you could kind of tell that after the prank and when he's actually got the phone call, he's like, okay, it's the Browns. Because funny, Deion Sanders actually said, if you go to the Browns, he ain't playing. He ain't going there. Well, that's where he's ended up. I just think, I think he will do well there personally, because I feel like they need change. And actually, looking at the way they drafted, I think they've got eyes on next season's draft. They're going to be trash this season, once again. And I think they've got eyes on next season's draft because they're still trying to get themselves out of this horrible situation of Deshaun Watson and the money tied up in that. So I think they've got one eye on next season's draft as opposed to how will Shedeur going to play for us for this season. Kenny Pickett is probably going to start because he's the most experienced quarterback. But I think Shedeur is actually in a good situation because he's in a situation that needs change and it needs a massive overhaul. So I actually think he will replace Kenny Pickett at some point and he will become the starting quarterback. I think that probably will happen, in my opinion, this season. Not this year anyway, at some point next year or later this year. But I think he's in a good place because the Browns need change, and you've got a big personality in Shador who can bring that. I quite like it.
Well, speaking of big changes, I thought maybe next we'd talk about the schedule and how it's really changed for a lot of teams this season, and how so many teams that we saw have a good season last year may not have a good one this year. So some teams that I did a little research of what teams were marked as like kind of the hardest schedules, and I got the Giants, Lions, and Bears. Now, obviously, Giants, that might be a little difficult for you. But they have about 13-ish rough games ahead of them. What do you guys think about that?
I always find it funny when people look at the strength of schedule going into seasons and stuff, because at the end of the day, they mean jack shit.
Yeah.
Really. If you're a good team, you're going to win games and stuff.
The Giants aren't good, though. That's a difference.
Last year, the Atlanta Falcons had the easiest schedule. Look what happened. And they didn't have a terrible roster. They had good people, but you've got to turn up on the day. Like, we all know this. Some teams could be great. Look at the Chiefs at the Super Bowl. They did not turn up on the day. Like, really. But I love the fact that you got called out. You're in that top list.
We got to look out for it, because next week I'm going to go through each game and I'm going to pick where we're going to win and lose.
You're going to go through each Giants game.
Each of us.
Win?
No, wow. We're going to, you know what? I can't wait.
You know what? The Giants won't tank and they'll win like one game.
No, we're not going to tank. We're not going to tank. We don't have to tank. We're getting their number one draft pick next year anyway, regardless. However, I think it might be a better season than people think. As long as we perform well.
I think so too, actually. Yeah.
You know, as long as we perform well, again, we have to have these guys have to have a winning season.
It'd be nice if you were the better team in New York. Change, isn't it? You've got to beat
for a change. For a change. Sorry, can I just make it? No, I'm not going to buy it. I'm not going to buy it. Usa.
Eleanor, did you mention the Lions in that year?
Yeah, the Lions, they were projected to have like a tough season. I saw somewhere, I don't know if it was Bleacher Report or NFL itself, projected that they could be 9-8. And as a Lions fan, I think that's kind of bogus. I mean, they're a really, really good team, and they had half their team was injured last year, and they still got...
Oh, you and me are going to be rivals. Yeah.
Oh, what? Oh, Green Bay?
Mm.
Well,
I mean, the fact that Washington went in, George, you and me programming that game, the fact that Washington went in and just beat the Lions, that was my Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
God, that was
hard. That was hard to see, but...
Don't the Packers play the Lions?
I can't remember that.
Who? What did you say?
I said, so what happened when the Lions played the Packers? Both times.
Oh,
both times. That's what I remember.
I'm actually interested in the Lions because they've lost Ben Johnson. They lost Aaron Glenn. They've lost they have some key pieces on that side, coaches as well. And when you get to a high like they were, and you get to the Washington game and get pulverized in the way they did, I don't think anybody expected that. So I want to see how they bounce back, because Ben Johnson's wanting to cook up a storm in Chicago. And I've said it before, Ash hates this, but I think the Bears are onto something with the moves they've made. And I've seen Amon Ross St. Brown. He looks panicked. He looks scared about the whole Ben Johnson and the Bears. So I think they're going to be just fine. But if I'm not correct, don't the Packers play the Lions in the opening game of the season? Or is that wrong?
Yeah, we do, actually. It's going to be great.
Oh, nice beating.
But you know what I will say? Actually, the opening game of the season, there are so many divisional matchups.
Yeah. We got the Cowboys.
Oh yeah,
Chiefs
yeah.
and Chargers, I think, too, in Brazil.
Yeah,
opening game.
Brazil.
No, what's the opening game? Eagles Cowboys.
Yeah, Eagles. Yeah. Eagles Cowboys.
Yeah.
I've got to double check who we got. I thought we had the Cowboys, but
no, Eagles. Yeah, but I do like
Eagles Cowboys
to start things off with. But yeah, I mean, bring it any given Sunday. Do you know what I mean?
You didn't bring it last year.
Oh damn. Oh, you're hired. It's done. Finally. It's done.
Finally.
The smoke.
I love this.
Touché.
Oh, this is gone.
I mean, that can mean anything when Dre and George give me shit. But like, when it's a rival.
That came out like WWE style with the chair. Bang. Right in the back.
Bang.
Absolutely love that. Well, ladies and gentlemen. Right, Lena, what have we got next?
Okay. Well, not, on the reverse of that is teams that have somewhat maybe of easy schedules. We got Patriots, Niners, and Saints. But I think the ones that stand out to me are the 49ers and the Patriots, because I think those are two teams that could probably go to the playoffs if they play well. Maybe not the Patriots. 49ers still have a strong team. Saints, on the other end, I think are just going to probably be like the Falcons, have a good or really easy schedule, but then not really do anything with it. But yeah.
All right, Ash.
The Saints are interesting.
The Saints are an interesting one. But the Saints have this gifted to them every year. And for example, The Saints every year, they always have like the most cap space and money and stuff to play with. But when's that going to change? But guys, I just don't see the 49ers. I think that dawned on them. Something just was not right last year. Even though they still do have a couple of good players on their roster and stuff, they have lost a couple of weapons and stuff as well. And I know we said it last year. I mean, it's this year or nothing at all. And I think Kyle Shanahan's going to have to pull some magical something out of the air to get the job done with the 49ers. And I just don't see it happening. I think there are better teams out there now within the NFC, especially. And now that Washington is, for example, like that's a team that, and you know, if there were more teams that could make the playoffs, maybe I'd put the 49ers. Mm-hmm. But the NFC is, you know, I mean, we all stuck our nose up last year and we said, oh, the AFC's better, the NFC's not got very good teams and everything. But I mean, we were all very much humbled by the fact that the NFC was really close.
Yeah. I think the 49ers were the most injured team, I believe, last season. So they had it bad. But like I said, I think Kyle Shanahan, now that Brock Purdy, he signed that deal, Mr. Irrelevant, to becoming a 7th or 8th highest paid quarterback, he's going to die on that sword, because if Purdy doesn't work out, there's going to be a lot of trouble. Mm. I don't think the 49ers are going to do well this season. I don't. Still no news on Brandon Ayuk, when he's going to be able to come back from that ACL injury. Yes, they've got Kittle. Yes, they've got their quarterback. Yes, they've got Fred Warner in the linebacker position. But the rest of the squad isn't really about, you know, obviously you've got Christian McCaffrey. Is he going to be healthy? Is he going to be able to play? We don't know. Then you talk about the Saints.
Kittle's got like 2 good games in him, and then he's doesn't do anything for like 4 games.
Exactly. Could be it. Yeah, that could be it. Then you look at the Saints, who are one of the, I mean, you talk about Catsworth, they had literally none. But they don't have a quarterback. Derek Carr has left the building. He's retired. And in fact, of the 3 guys they've got now, I'm pretty sure I've just read one of them is just strained some kind of abdominal muscle at the minute. So they're down to 2 quarterbacks. One being, I think, Tyler Show, and the other one being, I can't even remember his name. And that tells you what you need to know. What do they just say? They don't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
Chris Olave might be on his way out to the Steelers. If that does happen, what are the Saints? What are they?
What are the Saints?
Well, they need to find a QB very quickly.
Stop.
I'm surprised that they didn't draft one, knowing that you know, Derek Carr was injured already.
No, but I was expecting him to retire.
It was strange.
Yeah, I was expecting him to maybe take some time off and then come back. But to retire, I think, I honestly thought Derek
Carr
had a bit more time in him.
I think he's going to come back.
Nah, I don't think he's going to do it.
You do?
Yeah, I just got a feeling he'll come back.
Aaron Rodgers to the Saints.
Oh, we're not, no.
I'm so tired of that guy.
Elena, please.
He hasn't retired just yet, I'm just saying. He's still up for grabs.
Well, the Patriots, I mean, speaking of Tom Brady, the Patriots are kind of looking for some resurrection after Brady leaving, and they might have that this season with this schedule. And, I mean, what do you guys think about that? Because this is a team that was kind of, with Drake May, they were kind of brewing underneath the surface, but with what I kind of calculated was a 13-ish easier games that they have.
Oh, interesting.
Easy games.
I like Drake May. I mean, I think he's still got more in him. I think we only like scratched the surface with Drake May last year, especially, and you weren't there, but especially when we saw him, George, at the Wembley game in London. You've got to remember, some of these QBs within their rookie years and stuff, they've got so much more to give. But I actually like what Drake May can bring. I just think he needs the right head coach to bring it out of him. But interesting that you said like a 13-game win. I think that would be... I think Patriots fans are like, lose their minds if they get
to
That is not happening.
I don't think the Patriots, I mean, I think I like Drake May as well. I think he's a good quarterback. I'm not sold on the Mike Vrabel and also bringing back Josh McDaniels or wherever he is back as the OC. They just can't seem to get a fresh start. They always want to bring back branches of Bill Belichick. Go do your own thing. Bill's done. He's busy getting engaged to his 18-year-old girlfriend somewhere out there in the States. Like, go deal with that. Be your own team. They paid a hell of a lot of money for Stephon Diggs coming back from a serious ACL injury. I don't agree with that anyway. They need, yeah, they need a revamp. So I'm not sold on the Patriots being great at all. I know they went out and splashed the cash because they had the most cap space. They got some protection for Drake May. But as far as I'm concerned, I think they went and got Matt Collins as well, Mr. Barefoot, who walks everywhere barefoot from the Bills. I'm not sold on the Patriots at all. 13 wins, never. Absolutely not.
You think they'll at least have a winning season?
I don't think they will. No. I don't think they will.
It wasn't necessarily that I thought they'd get 13 wins, just that some of the games are a little bit easier.
No, I get you. Yeah.
I mean, some of these games, like, should be so easy for really any team, but I get what you're saying. I mean, we haven't really seen a complete version of that team because we haven't really seen Drake May play that much and play against that much, like, real talent. So it is really tough, I'd say, with that team. And I don't really want to see them succeed. They've succeeded for decades.
Not hating.
It'd be nice to
rule hate them out for a little.
Look, as long as, listen, my only team that I don't want to see, I don't want to see them Eagles win again. Like, I had to sit and have the ticker tape going over my face. And that was too much for a person. I don't deserve that.
All right.
I've done that.
Just the NFL gods out there. Just make sure you appease Dre. Everybody else.
Yeah, just make sure that Packers get another beat down, you know, consistently all the time. Actually, you know what? The funny thing is I really love the Packers. Packers are like...
I think everyone does.
Yeah, but because of this one here, then it just changed the landscape. And I have no issue with the good people in Indiana. But...
You're being dragged into this now, George, as well.
Yeah. Someone sent me a DM one time from a Colts fan. So what did we do to you?
See? Coming for you.
I just tagged
you and your Giants.
I just tagged in George. that's what you did. That's what you done.
So, I mean, kind of a little off of this now, but you know, back on the Eagles, the team that they beat, the Chiefs, they were here in the UK talking about how they are bringing a market to the UK. They're not playing a game this year. We don't know when they're going to play. But, you know, what do you think that means kind of for them internationally? Now they have seven different cities internationally that they're kind of become part of. So what do you think that'll mean for the NFL as a whole, and maybe will other teams want to start getting crazy numbers on how many teams or cities that they're going to become a part of?
So, right, refresh my memory now, because so the Chiefs now have got some type of rights.
I tell you.
Marketing rights. Are we talking about the marketing rights, or are we talking about just the games being internationally?
Just so teams that have got, like, marketing
rights. The growth markets.
More of them playing international games.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we will.
Yeah.
And on the one hand, I love looking at comments when Americans are like, don't keep sending games to Europe. We don't want them. We're going to lose a home game. And it's just like, no, because these are the teams that have got 9 home games. So you still have 8 home games, respectively. So you're actually not losing out. You're just missing out on that one extra that teams always get. That's kind of how they...
You two like debating with stupid people. I just can't.
Love it.
I can't. Some of the comments, and for those who listen, like, and obviously comment underneath our stuff on the Zone. We're not on the Zone platform. So I'm free to... The shackles are off, so I can say, well, it isn't on the Zone. When I'm on the Zone, I have to be nice and welcoming to all fans from all the world. But, you know, those bozos who just say, oh, stick to soccer. I can't listen to Brits. All right, do not watch any soccer at all. Don't watch Premier League. Don't watch Barcelona. Don't watch... There's one person in particular, I clicked onto his profile, you know, because scroll back button, you know, the sensibleness of where I'm at. I'm not going to come off on my throne to go down with the slums. I'm not going to do that. However, I saw that he was like posting lots about Real Madrid and Barcelona and the Premier League. So you can't have it both ways, buddy. You know, at the end of the day, if you don't want us Europeans talking about NFL, then you are not allowed to watch anything else. Simple as.
True.
But for the rest of the people, you're just idiots. So I do, you know, I do love the globalization of NFL. And the thing is, because obviously I work with F1 as well, so they both copy each other. So they are very much like focused on world domination. But it's almost like they sit together and they're like planning, like, oh, you're doing this. Oh, cool. You're doing this. I can do that. I can copy this. How do you do this? I, you know, so they both kind of copy each other, which is great. I think that it appealing to, because, you know, it will go to, you know, Asia. It definitely will. It will go to the Middle East. So I'm going to find it interesting to see like the atmosphere. You're going to lose that. What you don't want it to do is you want it to go to places that are already passionate.
Yeah. You don't want it to go to a place where then you have to grow it from scratch.
Yeah.
But I also see, obviously, with more countries coming in, so obviously we've got Australia next year, London's going to lose a game.
You reckon?
Yeah, I mean, you have...
Are you fine with that? How do you feel about that, Ash?
I'm completely fine. I'm so fine. But I'm so excited, obviously, about Madrid. I'm excited about Dublin. Those countries... Yeah. Stacked NFL fans and like a bit like the German fans and stuff, they're ready to go.
Right.
Like, and they're so enthusiastic, which I love, but you're so right. There's like with the NFL, I hope they don't just think to themselves, okay, well, let's just grow globally. Let's just throw money left, right, and center when there's actually not an NFL fan base already cemented there. Because obviously, like we know with international games, every team is repped because as fans, we just want to see a live game. So I think that'd be really interesting.
Yeah. You know, I'm just coming back to your comments about like, passionate fan bases. I just wanted to find out, like, you know, there's a big fat passionate fan base in the UK.
Are you gonna try and cancel me?
What? No, I'm here to ask questions. That's all. Okay. Why do you seem to not enjoy the London games in particular? Like, what?
Wow.
You said you prefer the.
I mean, it's
Germany.
A
solution,
isn't it?
So, I'm just asking questions. You know, to George too.
What? Do you know what's
I love having the London games on our back doorstep, don't get me wrong, but I also love going to new places and meeting new fans and everything.
Okay.
But I also think as well with London, I feel like maybe we've all been desensitized a little bit because obviously we've had the Jags over so many times and there's only so many questions you can ask Trevor Lawrence and Jags fans, really. But I think it just all, like, as long as we get like new teams over that we haven't seen before, I think then the enthusiasm and the spark gets tenfold and everything. But
very diplomatic answer. I like that. I like how you dance. George?
Oh, yeah, right. No, it's actually funny because I actually had a conversation with someone today about 2 hours ago about the London games.
Okay.
And he said exactly kind of what I said. He was like, why does Brazil get the Chiefs and the Chargers? Why does Germany, why does Spain get the Bengals and I think the Dolphins? And he was like, the London have the Browns and the Jags and the Jets. And he was almost alluding to the fact, like, the new market seems to get the better games and the existing market seems to get the rest of it. And I guess in one way, I can see why that would be the case, because if you're coming to a new market like Brazil, this is the second game. They haven't had a game yet in Spain. This is the first time. Germany, we've had a few now. But the first German game was Tyreek Hill's revenge game against Kansas City Chiefs out in Germany. That's insane. So in a way, you kind of understand it because they need to entice the fans to come and watch the games, right? So one way to do that is to put on big teams. So I guess that could be part of why the teams that come over to London aren't as big as the teams that, I guess, go elsewhere around the globe. I'm curious to know what you think, Dre.
You lying, saying what you should be saying. I'm just saying it. Okay. So I've been to all of the games, luckily. So
yes.
I can be fair and say which country had the best atmosphere. And consistently, Germany has the best atmosphere. And then Brazil was far behind. And considering it was their first ever time, the Brazil game was, the atmosphere was rocking. Obviously, it's easier for, actually, no, it's because it's still a long journey down there and they still have to kind of break their routines. But I just think that German fans, and we're going to see with Spain this year, but German fans seem to enjoy the game and make more noise. And it doesn't turn football-esque. Soccer, Premier League.
Soccer.
So it doesn't turn like that. And I just think that there's more of a party atmosphere when it comes to to the German game compared to the London game. So my personal favorite is all the games that are in Germany, even if they're considered dud games. Like they still make the most of the atmosphere there. So I think
you got to remember as well. No, sorry, I was going to add on to your point. You've got to remember as well, Germany have a rich history of American football. Huge, long, going back years. They got a great domestic league, which has been running for years as well. So naturally, that feeds into, I guess, why the atmosphere and everything about the games just feels so much better.
And if the UK fans do not like the fact that we're not getting like the best games, make a better atmosphere. Have better, you know, more singing, more like cheering. More like, you know, don't concentrate so much on making a beer snake. Concentrate on actually that atmosphere and not just, you know. Yeah. I just think that, you know, these guys drink in it's not like they don't drink in Germany. You know, they drink games just like we do, but they don't concentrate on another nonsense.
Prost.
You know, they are there to have a party and make it, you know. And come on, the first time you're lucky you heard Country Roads the first time in Munich. Oh, you know, we got the redo. But even the redo that we got was...
I mean, I had Tom Brady brilliant. And...
Geno Smith.
Yeah, Pete Carroll. He's like, happy dad.
Geno, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Germany was good. The German fans, yeah. Something in the atmosphere over there is so much different to what we have over here. So fair play to them.
Well, as our final topic, kind of to switch things up, a little meta here, is I just want to pose the question, do you think that athletes should have podcasts? So example of one that maybe has gone sour a little is Micah Parsons, because sometimes people think that he's focused on the podcast so much and not actually focused on the game. And then kind of like the reverse of that is the Kelce brothers and how they both went to Super Bowls and won Super Bowls while maintaining their podcast. And like, is it a distraction pretty much?
I want to go first because I've got a shoot. I don't think it's a distraction if it's done correctly. I think you have to think, right? NFL stands for not for long. Guys get hurt and they're out of the game, just like that. You have to be thinking forward now, like the Kelce brothers, like, I guess, the Brown brothers. I remember St. Brown, Equanimee St. Brown doesn't even play, I don't think, anymore, right? You have to be thinking forward and think, what comes after football? If you're one of these players that thinks you can get into the media, you can get into podcasts and you can get into that side of work, like so many of the guys that have, like Taylor Lewan, et cetera, Boston with Du Bois, all this kind of stuff. Gronk is doing it now with Julian Edelman. Do it. But if you're doing it and you're making it, it's starting to creep into your play, like you said, Micah Parsons, where it's now becoming controversial and it's affecting what you're doing on the field, then you've got a problem. There's no reason why you can't do both. Just they all get downtime. They all get their own time to do their own things. Some guys are successful, some guys aren't. So take a leaf out of their book, do it right, get the right advice. And before you know it, you could be benefiting from both worlds because football does not last forever. I'm all for it.
I don't think you should.
I was going to say, ban it.
Oh, wow.
Because, I, you know, if we look at...
Of course you would say that, Ash. You guys tried to ban the Dan Tush Bush.
I mean, I was for that too, definitely. But that mine's not... Not for safety reasons. It's just pure hate and jealousy.
There were only 10 little teams that said no. Only said. And apparently, the rumour mill on that one is that the league asked the Packers to do it because we actually don't have an owner. So the sword fell on us.
Oh.
Fell on us. That's just the rumour mill. I'm not saying it's true. I'm surprised it didn't get banned.
Same.
But on the podcast thing, I think Parsons shows me why. You shouldn't. I don't think teams can ban people from doing that, but they can put in your contract moving forward.
Yes.
You know, so yeah, I just don't. I don't see how. Since he's been doing it, like obviously you look at when he first came into the league, explosive, dangerous, everything, and then since he's been doing the you know, extracurricular activities, then. I think he's like kind of falling off a bit. I'm not saying he's not elite or you know.
I agree. Actually,
was before. I just don't think your focus is. I think he's the reason why teams will be like, we're not really feeling that. I think that Kelce brothers are the exception, not the rule. This is just my take. You know, I if you look at other sports like Draymond Green, like you know, I don't see how that's benefited the Warriors. You know. The end of the day, it's just caused more drama and stress than anything else. You know, there's only one case I've seen that it actually works. I haven't seen any other cases that I watch a lot of the podcast. For me and my own personal little opinion, before people come at me, like, what about this person?
At Andre Dixon.
Exactly. I just don't see how it's been positive. I think that Parsons has actually shown why it's a distraction and why you shouldn't really want your players doing that. I don't know if they can outlaw it. They can put in people's contracts, but I don't know what you think.
I will say the one thing about the New Heights show with the Kelce brothers and stuff is that they've got Amazon behind them. Like, they don't have to do anything themselves.
Yeah, but remember, they started this on their own.
No, I know. But now, like, they don't have to. They've got people there editing it and doing it all themselves. Yeah. Whereas, like, other people are starting out, they probably have to put more effort and time in, if that makes sense. Like, that's
Listen, they're all millionaires. They've got the same amount of resources.
No, I know. But, but nobody's got, like, $100 million Amazon deal behind their backs.
No.
But I just think, I kind of think they shouldn't. Regardless, like, in the off-season, do whatever you want to do. And say, if you bow out and you don't make the playoffs, fine, whatever. But I just kind of think don't do it in the regular season. I think we've seen it too many times where players get distracted, their minds on other things. Look at Juju when he was doing his TikTok dances. I mean, he literally I think just it's nice, I think, as a fan of the game to see like your players really dedicated doing what they need to do. If there are other things that they want to do, and like you said, as long as they don't get distracted, fine. But I think we've seen it too many times rather than not when they have.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, like, you know, it doesn't need to be the podcast that actually leads to distractions. You know, look at the Giants before a playoff game doing that boat naked.
Oh, dear.
On that note,
I've got to shoot, but it's been downhill since there for you guys, like, completely, since that photo.
Finishing now, George is we're going to be coming back every week, we promise. We're going to be more dedicated to giving you guys information and our opinions and covering all the news, scraps that are in the NFL world. And, because we know you love hearing from us. But thank you, Elena, for keeping us timely. We will catch you guys next week. Peace.